anyway, I don't want to back up to what I was saying, but I think what we have to do today is extremely important. We've got to try to make it clear to most people what the differences are out there with the many programs and the many therapies that are being offered. And unfortunately, the more we have become mainstream, more people have become interested, and with it, you have people with barely enough knowledge about the whole concept of handling cancer are ready to handle cancer patients. I had a call last Thursday from a woman who said to me, I'm a nutritionist. I've studied with Dr. Jensen, and you can make referrals to me of cancer patients. Well, we don't do that. We wait until we see exactly what this woman is up to. But let me tell you something. The teacher knows how difficult it is to help a cancer patient through this whole process of cancer. The person who is the student ready to take on cancer patients, you have to know she's a rank amateur. Because if she was not a rank amateur, she wouldn't be that anxious to take cancer patients. It belongs to very professional people. It's the extreme breakdown that the body goes through. And so you've got to be knowledgeable enough to bring that body back to health. And every individual is different. There's no one routine for everyone. Now, since this confusion is taking place about all these various therapies, and as I say, the books and the radio programs and the people talking and amateurs thinking they know what they're doing, I'm going to try to explain it from our perspective. And it's a 20-year perspective, by the way. We can actually divide it into three different methods. You have one method being used by the medical community, which is your radiation, first surgery, if it's possible, radiation, chemotherapy, and in some instances, tamoxifen or a hormone inhibitor for some breast cancer patients, and to a lesser degree, and not necessarily as commonplace as we would like it, there is some immunotherapy taking place, which we classify as a biotherapy. And that's what we're looking for, biotherapies. This is a term you're going to hear much more about. Now, you've also got another type of therapy. Now, that type of therapy does nothing, but nothing whatsoever, to repair the physiology of the patient that is causing the body to produce abnormal cells. It does kill cells. In some instances, it harms the patient too, or most instances it does, but there's no healing property to chemotherapy or radiation, and not to surgery either, but it isn't as damaging as chemotherapy and radiation. It is really a technique to buy time. Professionals know that it's a technique to buy time. They don't classify it as a cure in the pure sense. When they say we have a 50% cure rate, they're talking about 5 years survival. That's their mark. If you die 10 days later, statistically, you're still alive. You're still part of the 50%. You see? Now, it's important for people to understand that. And we find the medical community these days is much more inclined to say, we have achieved 50% survival for 5 years, instead of saying 50% cure. We're critical of it, and maybe with the criticism, there's a change in the presentation. And there needs to be a change, because you can't make a sound decision unless you have access to knowledge. You're the ones to make that decision. You must make it with knowledge. If you're working in the blind, you're going to make mistakes. So, and if they had a specific cure for cancer, you can be sure the fundraising could stop, the research could stop, and it hasn't done that yet. It's still very active. because they're still looking for the answer. I would like to congratulate the researchers and the medical people on their adoption of the immunotherapy. And that came, that interest developed in the medical community, not because spectacular research was done to open up that area, but it started because they were using immunosuppressive drugs to stop the rejection of heart transplants, kidney transplants, so on and so on. And they found that those patients, unfortunately, had a much higher incidence of cancer over and above the rest of the population. So suddenly there was a light that the immune system has a connection with body function and cancer. But thank goodness that it has come about. Now, as I say, there are three different ways of looking at this. Now we have a whole group of people who call themselves alternatives. Now, we used to call ourselves the Alternative Cancer Therapies, and we coined the term for that organization years ago, but everybody adopted the term alternatives. Not every alternative is necessarily non-toxic. Not every alternative could possibly be labeled even effective. And so we wanted to get away from the use in our name or the connection between what was going on and what was being labeled alternative and what we were actually doing. Now you have loads of things that are classified as alternatives that also buy time and not necessarily cure. The time they buy might be better than what you would buy with radiation and chemotherapy. In most instances, it would be better, not necessarily better at all times. You have to keep that in mind. Now I'm going to mention some of the things that fall into that category, and I'm not making a judgment about it, I'm just telling you where it's at. This is what it is. If you take high doses of vitamin C, a la Linus Pauling, you are not nourishing and repairing the whole body. If it is effective in destroying a tumor, that's what it's doing, destroying a tumor. And we're trying to tell people, and we've been trying to tell them through this convention and other conventions, is getting rid of the tumor is not the cure for cancer. There's where you have to shift your thinking. Everybody calls and says, well, I've got a reduction in the tumor. But if you haven't corrected the mechanism that has produced that problem, you can't be sure you're going to be free of cancer forever. All of the patients you'll find presented here, starting with Doris Sokosh and Betty Fowler, who's going to be the next speaker, and tomorrow the speakers, all have used the concept that we're talking about and what we support. And that's a concept of making a full bio repair. Now, I don't think any one of them has a case history that's less than 15 years old. Yours is more than that? More. I think all of them have a case history that's over 15 years old, which is excellent. There's a pancreatic cancer patient at one of the booths out there with a 15-year recovery. Pancreatic cancer is a very difficult kind of cancer to handle. Again, using the same concept, I asked her to talk, but she is too nervous to speak from a platform, which is typical of many cancer patients. They're not professional speakers. So we have this middle track now, and you've got someone like by the name of Brzezinski with these anti-neoplastins that you may have heard about. Again, this is not a design to restore the total body function. You have ozone therapy they talk about, the Rife machine. Dr. Ravisi with selenium or lipids where he does acid alkaline balance. Many patients will come away from these therapies and what they will say is, I feel better, I feel wonderful. It can possibly do that. They can't be wrong on a large scale, But what we're saying is, to what degree does it sustain over the long haul? Are you looking for temporary relief as you get with the medical community, or are you looking for a system where your body is now functioning as efficiently as it does for the patient who's never had a diagnosis of cancer? I could mention more of them. I think you may have the general idea of what I'm trying to say. Now, we will, if you call our office, the tendency will for us to encourage you to adopt a program, which isn't easy, and I want to be very fair with you. It's not an easy type of program. It's a full change in lifestyle, and not only that, you go through what Gerson had labeled a flare-up. It was a good term that he used, or Kelly used to call it, a time when you're goopy. And what it is, and I'm going to tell you what that process is when you start one of these programs. If your body is loaded with material that doesn't belong there, even cancer cells don't belong there, and when they break down and they're picked up by the bloodstream, they're toxic. They cause toxicity. When you're in a state of toxicity, you're going to have a flare-up or you're going to feel goopy. But if you don't go through that process, it's quite possible you will never achieve the goal you're trying to achieve. All that material went in over a long period of time, possibly 20 years, maybe more. In Hiroshima, they found cancer developing 30 years after the bomb was dropped, do you see? So it can take 20 to 30 years, dependent upon your constitution, or dependent upon what you're doing periodically, if you're eating improperly or going through a lot of stress. It's not one factor, by the way. Now, you've got to try to undo that damage, and there's a lot of buildup. There's a toxic accumulation, and you have to try to restore the function of that body. That material is blocking normal function. It isn't easy to do. I don't want to offer you a program from this platform. It's dangerous. Amateurs will do that. I can't. I know too much to do that. What will happen if I offered you a program and I started to stir up the toxins that you have collected, and you go into these symptoms that we're talking about, what we call the goopy period or the flare-up period, you might get a fever. Now, fever is a healing process. There are people doing what is called hyperthermia because the heat destroys cancer cells. Fever is a natural healing process. The hyperthermia is done artificially, but you have to make the connection between fever and hyperthermia. Now, we like to call that, instead of using a more medical technical term of systemic hyperthermia, I prefer to call it fever therapy. It's better understood that way, but it is done artificially when it's a fever therapy. Some of the European clinics used to have some techniques where they could stir up a fever, and when the fever arose, it was their feeling that the immune system has been activated, and the immune system is seeking out this toxic material, starting it on its pathway, or as Dr. Jensen would say, it starts to flow. But it means the bloodstream is now collecting that waste material, and it will now process it for elimination. And that's another process which I don't think we might not go through. Rather have you understand the process. Now, when we talk about diet doesn't mean a vitamin regimen. Some people think that Dr. Kelly had a vitamin regimen, or that Dr. Roy might have a vitamin regimen, or some of the other doctors have vitamin regimens. They're not that at all. Some of them give a lot of supplements, but we think they can cut many of them down. But if they don't, that's the way they handle the program. But most of those materials are not the vitamins. They're cellular substances. And you're going to have the opportunity to hear Dr. Estrella, who is a cellular therapist. But there again, it's like the fever therapy is done artificially. The cells are harvested and given to the patients by injection. In other words, it's not done through the natural process, but there's nothing wrong with it. But the supplements they use, as I say, are mostly enzymes, mostly cellular substances, or some people refer to them as protomorphogens. If you hear that term, you'll know what they're talking about. And most of the vitamins are coming primarily from your food supply. Your vitamins and minerals are coming primarily from your food supply with some supplementation where the doctor feels the patient needs a better boost. And usually you'll find that the material they use for that boost is not the typical vitamin where the original substance comes from Hoffman LaRoche, possibly. Pharmaceutical people are also producing vitamins, but their yardstick and their values and their standards are somewhat different from what we're looking for. We're looking for natural substances, not to burden the body with things that it finds difficult to absorb. You can take a 2 milligram tablet of vitamin E and compare it to a 400 milligram of vitamin E made differently, not as natural as the two, but the body's absorption of the two will act more potently on the body than the 400 milligram tablet. You see why we look for it in the food supply? Small amounts of good material are more potent than large amounts of material not of exceptional quality. Not only that, if there's a lot of junk in the vitamins, we refer to some of them as junk vitamins, if there's a lot of junk in the vitamins, it adds an additional burden to the body to eliminate the waste part of it. Now the body's busy during the day. What it is busy doing is eliminating the waste from the daily food intake. There's always waste. The body has to eliminate the waste from an accumulated supply of waste. And then the body added to it, if you're taking vitamin supplements that are not of good quality, that the body doesn't absorb readily, that becomes another product that burdens the system of elimination. And that system of elimination is crucial to carrying out the program. Now, I may say something to you and you think in the back of your mind, but I know somebody who did thus and so. Yes, you do, and there are people out there who did thus and so that we're negating, and they have gotten well. But don't forget, their body might have only been in a state of disrepair temporarily. It's also quite possible it was a mistaken diagnosis, and maybe it was a system that was workable for that individual at that time. We're not talking about the rare instances. We prefer to use a concept that has a better track record. We prefer to use a concept that you've got a good chance with. This is hard enough as it is not to use a system that has limits or just doesn't have the whole story. As I say, you take vitamin C, that's all you're getting is vitamin C. That body requires a lot more. And not only that, it will never metabolize as much vitamin C as Linus Pauling would like you to take or as he promotes. I'm not talking about Linus Pauling, I'm talking about the therapy. I don't discredit doctors, I discredit the system. There's a difference. People are honorable, but systems aren't always sound. And what happens with that amount of vitamin C, the body is burdened to eliminate the excess that the body can't utilize, and it can't utilize all of that. So you want a system where you're getting as much vitamin C as the body needs, can handle, without the excesses, and usually you do better when you get it from your food supply. One other factor you find in the food supply is, especially when we talk about raw food, someone argues we ought to have all cooked food, but what we talk about with raw food is nature, in its wisdom, has designed the raw food to have its own enzymes. And the enzymes are the catalyst for the metabolism of that food. If you heat the food beyond a temperature of about 112, 118 degrees, we might even say 120 degrees, which is fairly low, you destroy the enzymes. So you see how important it is to get some raw food in that system. And as I say, you get it from your raw food, you're not only getting your enzymes, but you're getting minerals. Minerals can be lost if you're cooking food in water. You're going to leach out the minerals and throw that down the drain. If you've leached out the minerals, even the vitamins that are there can't be metabolized. The vitamins need minerals combined with minerals to be metabolized. I don't know if I mentioned ozone therapy or the Rife machine, or many of you may have heard of some of these things. We put them all in the same category. So you've got these three different systems. One that buys time and is not claiming actually to do more except artificially. You've got the other system, of course, which is labeled alternative, and there are some people, I'm going to cut my talk short, but I won't deprive you of the questions and answers because we're running so late. You've got the so-called second track that we're talking about, which again is more a system of buying time because it doesn't have built into it the restoration process. For instance, you've heard of Dr. Burton down in the Bahamas. What he does is immunotherapy, and that takes care of the immune system, but you have half a dozen other systems that have to work in harmony with your immune system. Otherwise, it's more or less like taking insulin. You've got a broken down system for sugar metabolism, and so you have to add insulin. You don't know whether it's going to work further, but the system is not curbing the body's action of still producing cancer cells. It's just taking care of the immune system and helping the body get rid of cancer cells, but it doesn't address the production of cancer cells. Now, any good system that is based on a biological program, some people call it a metabolic program, I prefer to call it a good biological program, any good system of that kind would also have built into it the mechanism to help restore the immune system, along with the digestive system, the endocrine system, the nerve network, system of elimination. We even have to consider the structural balance. Because you can have an impingement along the spine where all the nerve ends are, and I think you can remember from early childhood in school where they tell you everything the body does is based on a signal from the nerve to the organ to move itself. We have an autonomic nervous system. We have one that, of course, doesn't work autonomically. For instance, your heart works automatically. Your colon works automatically. That's your autonomic nerve. Your lungs breathe most of the time automatically. That's your autonomic nerve system. But you also have a system where you say to yourself, I want to move this way, I want to move that way. There's always a signal from the brain through the nerve network telling the limb or whatever it is to move. It's hard to visualize that, but if you we learned it very early in school, and I hope you'll accept it that it's a fact. Now, all the nerve ends are located between the vertebrae of the spine. So the signals all go out from there. And this is why we're concerned about the spinal column. Otherwise, you get compression on a nerve end, and then the signal that is supposed to say to your pancreas, hey, it's time for you to do your work, doesn't come to it clear enough. It's not as though it's not coming at all. Very often it's just bungled a bit, you know, and you're getting only part of the signal, part of the time, not all of the time. And the same thing for your liver, your heart, other organs, the whole endocrine system, adrenals, pituitary gland, you need to know all of it. Now, I'm going to stop at this point. I think I've given you an insight into what we have concluded during the 20 years we've been with FACT and the experience we've had with the cancer patients, with the practitioners, and the clinics. And so the conclusions haven't come about because of an emotional experience of any kind that we suddenly feel wonderful because someone gave us a shot of vitamin C and tomorrow we're better. Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And we've had to evaluate it over a long period of time. Very often a person who tells us 1 week they're all better, they come back and have to complain because the work wasn't done from the inside out, as Jensen says, you see? And they have to begin the program as it should be. All right, I'm going to give you a chance to ask questions. I hope I've given you enough to hold you for a while.
I was a cancer patient, and I had nowhere to turn. I didn't take surgery. I saw my mother die of a radical, and I swore then I would never let anyone touch me. That was so deeply embedded, I didn't realize it when I did get the message that I had the cancer, that it was there, and I couldn't go any other way. I didn't know anything about alternative therapies at that time at all. I didn't know about you either until I had met Dr. Inkeo, and he introduced me to you. From there, I have become a victim, as you have said, of people that don't know very much. But then other people hear about you, and they see that you're doing so well. I have felt better now than I had done when I was 20 years old. So I know something happens in the body when you start taking care of it. And I also realize that it takes time. It isn't a miracle cure. You don't develop these new cells overnight. There's no quick fix. So I thank you for all your information, for all your help that you've given me. And many people, now I'm here with many people in my head that I'm helping. And I have tried many different things. I don't stick with one thing. I don't think that's the answer either. And
well,
as you said,
I would like to expand on that so that we have a clear image of what we're talking about. Now, a lot of people, and there used to be another chapter similar to our organization, and these people would always say, you know, you can move that thing back that's behind you there. These people would always say, do everything at once. It doesn't make any difference what is affecting the cure as long as you get well. Now that sounds very nice, and many things do sound nice, but it's actually not logical. And this is why. The body has its own healing pace, and you really ought to follow a system that has been worked out carefully, that has produced results, and stay with it without adding to it everything else that you hear that's being promoted all over the place, because the body's not going to heal at a faster pace just because you use all these things. Now, I'm going to give you an analogy that I always use, and people understand it easily, and that is if you break a bone, you put it together, but nature starts to do the healing to knit that bone. And it's not going to do it any faster for you if you start to take all kinds of medication or topically or do things of that kind. It has its own pace. Now, it's the same thing with the body. Sometimes if you urge the body to work too rapidly with too many things stimulating it at one time, it collapses because it's too tired to do the job. You see?
I didn't take everything. I used one, I did the Jensen program. I took, I went for another year to a doctor in Cario, and we did one other thing there.
Well,
but gradually.
You shifted to another doctor and adopted his program.
Well, I kept, no, I didn't drop everything I was doing. I continued on with the Jensen program.
But I think Dr. Nkeo was made aware of what you were doing.
Oh, yes.
So then it becomes his program because he's adopting that. It's the professional who is then making the decision of where you, what you stay with. But what we want to discourage is people, what we want to discourage is having people go to a doctor and then deciding, well, I'm quite smart. We want you to work on your own and to be independent and to learn. Hasn't tried it long enough. Now, I don't like to mention any product, but there are a lot of products that have come on the market recently. And you read some of the articles about it, and it's as though this cures everything from a hangnail to cancer. And there's no such thing. And I think you know it. Okay. See,
I'm
why I give a short talk, because I give long-winded answers.
What was that?
You couldn't hear me? I said the reason I give a short talk is because I give long-winded answers.
I'm wondering what's happened about Laetrile. What's the latest on Laetrile? What's your opinion?
All right, it's a good question, and I could have mentioned it, but didn't. When we first started the organization, Laetrile was just about the most popular thing around. It had gotten the greatest amount of publicity, and a lot of people were on it. And I knew people who had used Laetrile along with the dietary program, again, along with that full repair system, and they were doing well. They had long years of recovery, and it was fine. Now, a period came along where it became too popular. And with the popularity, a lot of people began to manufacture. This is what happens all the time. Somebody's out there to earn his money, and you can't blame them. We have to be more discriminating. And you really can't get all those apricot kernels and make all that Laetrile for that demand. And so they were cutting corners. And another thing that was going on is that it was becoming both the oral and injectable material were both becoming over-refined. You know, if we talked about sugar and we talk about over-refining sugar, what happens to it? You don't have all the nutrients there that you're supposed to have. And so this, we feel, has happened to Laetrile, that you're not getting the same quality, it's not producing the same reaction, it's not helping to the same degree. Now, I'm not saying it's not helping at all. It's not of the original quality. When you opened up a bottle of Laetrile tablets, the strongest odor there was apricot kernels. Today, the strongest odor is alcohol, because they use alcohol in processing it. So you see, there's a difference. What we're saying to people who feel very comfortable with the Laetrile and feel that they want it, and we don't want to disappoint them, what we're saying to them is, get your apricot kernels. There again, you've got it in small quantities, but in a more potent form.
To continue on Laetrile, can you have the Laetrile tablets if you're taking them? Do you know, is there any possible way of having tested?
The people in Mexico test it. The people who are selling it do test it. But
I've been taking it for over a year, and it suddenly dawned on me that possibly, you know, what I'm taking is not helping. I have to have faith in the person that's giving it to me, but I don't know.
Well, I think the people who are supplying it are doing it in good faith. This is our judgment about it. I would suggest to anyone who's taking the Laetrile tablets, you feel comfortable with the Laetrile tablets, and maybe there's a fear about giving them up because they may be just what you need. Mm-hmm. I would suggest you add some apricot kernels to it.
Okay. And then by what, crushing them and eating them? Or
there are. I'll tell you how you can take them. You can either take them by just chewing them, or you can take them and grind them and put them in capsules, or sprinkle them on food, or put them in capsules. It's all right anyway. But don't grind up huge quantities. The oils begin to oxidize. You can keep apricot kernels in your freezer for a couple of years, but if you grind them up, the oil in the apricot kernels begins to turn rancid, and it will oxidize. So what you want to do is to grind up about a 3-day supply and refrigerate it. How many kernels would it be? It's so different for everyone. I hope you'll understand after you leave here during this weekend that you're all individuals. Now, here's what it is. They take the apricot kernels, if they grind them up, or if you don't grind them up, and you take a certain amount one day, 3 times a day. You add something to it for the next day, more the next day, and when you get to the point where you feel nauseous, that's your tolerance level. So it's different for everyone. That becomes your tolerance level. Now, what you can do sometimes is stay with that amount for a week or two or three, and you can try to up the dose again and see if it works. If it doesn't, you stay just below the level that causes nausea.
Ruth, is there something we should know about when to take them, and if it is, if there's, for instance, something we should not eat Laetrile with, and I've heard it mentioned with
the
almonds.
The better way, let's not talk about what we're going to eat it with. When I say you can sprinkle it on things, you can. Somehow or other, you'll get by with that. Otherwise, it's better to take it on an empty stomach. Uh-huh. You see, apricot kernels do have something. They have an organic type of cyanide, and enzymes can trigger that cyanide, and this is sometimes what causes the nausea. The FDA and other people have claimed that they've known people to die from it. I think I've had experience with Laetrile for more years than they have. I've never known anyone who has died from taking apricot kernels.
I meant specifically, does it react with almonds, fresh almonds?
No. Fresh almonds have no Laetrile.
Oh, someone said, well, don't take them together.
No, it has nothing to do with it. The almonds have no Laetrile. Some people think because they look alike that the almonds have Laetrile. You'll find it's not called Laetrile, but they're called nitrilicides.
Yeah. Okay.
You'll find them in many grains. You'll find them in apple seeds, prune pits. Okay. Somebody said something. You'll find them in raspberries and blackberries. And there are loads of things that you can find them in.
Can I get a supply here in the East? Do I have to send to the Southwest to get the kernels?
I don't know anyone in this area who's supplying the kernels. I'm familiar with the New York City area, and there the state did move into the health food stores and deprive them of the opportunity to sell apricot kernels.
Oh, I have a little anecdote about that. I was buying them in Pikesville, Ohio, from a health food store in 1975, and I bought 3 or 4 pounds. I bought 3 or 4 pounds in Pikesville in 1975. I still have a pound of them in my refrigerator from 15 years ago. And they still taste fresh. But I bought 3 pounds, the FDA came in. I went in the next day, and the man said the FDA men were in here. They took them off the shelves, and they carried them away.
There are still places where it can be gotten, but it's not as easy as it used to be.
Yeah. Well, about how much a pound are they now? I was paying $1 a pound in 1975.
I don't think you can get it for less than $5 a pound
around
now.
Five.
And at that, they want to send about 5 pounds.
That's okay.
Ship 5 pounds. But they do keep well.
Right.
Like all seeds.
Yes.
Didn't they find a lotus seed, what they thought was 1,000 years old,
yes,
and planted it, and it produced life?
Well, in the tombs in Egypt.
Yeah.
All
right. No more questions. Everybody satisfied?
Is there anyone that you know of in the area that's doing the Gerson therapy, or that's familiar with that, a physician that I could connect with?
There are a lot of physicians who might be familiar with the Gerson therapy, but that therapy isn't easy to carry out at home. It's really a clinic procedure, and one should go to the clinic if they want the Gerson therapy. We're even suggesting to people, and I'm sure Charlotte Strauss, who's a friend of mine, won't be happy with what I'm saying, that the patient would be better off when they get back from the Gerson clinic to go on a more modified type of system, because that one makes you and someone else, if you're married, your wife or whoever it is, absolutely devoted to the job of doing the program. And we prefer to see people living a lifestyle where you can feel as though you can socialize a bit, you can go out, you can have company, go to work, and you don't have to devote yourself to the program. That's a tough program.
This is my first convention, and I think if there's anything I've learned today, it's that all the facets of health are so individualized. So in relation to supplementation, since we are so individualized, how is a person able to determine if they need supplementation in addition to their food and how much of each supplement they need?
All right. Most individuals can't determine that on their own. I've known some people who've done a lot of reading and then have tested out some of the ideas. In some instances, they were wrong. In some instances, they were right and corrected the program through a trial and error system. Even the doctors need guidance for the patient. And this is why we present Dr. Galanti. We like to see some sort of diagnostic work done so that you're more specific about what your body needs, so you're not overloading with one thing and depriving in another area because someone tells you, well, everybody ought to have selenium, or everybody ought to have one of these primrose oil. I could think of loads of things, do you see? And it may be improper for you. So you're better off when you do diagnostic work. Now, Dr. Jensen has set up a system out there in the exhibit area of doing iris analysis. You saw some of the photographs here that he had done and concluded what to do through iris analysis. He knew what the patient needed because of the iris analysis. He could tell when the bowel function was poor, whether it was overloaded, whether you had to concentrate on repairing that area, and this is exactly what they do. We'd prefer to see people do some sort of analysis and know which direction they're taking.
Thank you.